42. Psalm chapter 42. And we're going to read actually Psalm 42 and 43. And so when you catch your place there, let's stand in respect and reverence to the Word of God, and we'll read responsively. I'll read the odd-numbered verses in Psalm 42, and then I'll read the even-numbered verses in Psalm 43. So we'll just keep it going here, Psalm chapter 42 and 43. Familiar passage, and we're going to speak tonight on defeating discouragement. Defeating discouragement. It's important, amen? And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Psalm 42, verse 1 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of mine enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Let's read verse 1 together. "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I a mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Father, please bless your word to our hearts now. Thank you for this precious passage. We pray that you would please work now as only you can. I think of, as Brother Case often prays, make it one message for many hearts and meet needs as only you can. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. When I was a student at Midwestern Baptist College, I heard over 1,000 messages. 1,000 messages between, we had chapel from Tuesday through Friday, and then of course Saturday we would have a bus meeting, and then Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I have most of the notes from those messages. And there was a theme that seemed to ring through at least every chapel message, not every chapel message, but almost every chapel message. And it was this one. To those of you that graduated from Bible college, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but you must not quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to fainting and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. I love this. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may seem near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many quitting places in life. There's so many places where we can just throw up our hands and say, you know, boy, I'll tell you what, that's it. One of the greatest characteristics of the Psalms that makes them so truly beloved to the reader is the fact that they are filled with humanity. In particular, the human struggles which people can easily relate. So many of the Psalms were written during days of great difficulty and reflect the seemingly never-ending battle between doubt and depression and discouragement on one side and faith and trusting God on the other side. Even in our text, and by the way, sometimes doubt and depression are products of, there's several things. Sometimes it's a product of sin undealt with. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes Christians are depressed and discouraged because they've got unconfessed sin in their lives. And God, listen to me, God is not going to let you be happy with unconfessed sin in your life. The depression many times is the chastening hand of God in our lives. But sometimes it's not sin undealt with. Sometimes it's just sorrow. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've seen it in these last weeks. We don't live in the land of the living. We live in the land of the dying, don't we? Three funerals in the last 3 weeks. Miss Ellen, new widow. Miss Karen, new widow. Miss Verna, new widow. I think about Christine Lawley, Brother Bob Welker passing away. You know, sometimes people get depressed because of the sorrows of life just overwhelm us, don't they? I just think about that, and I think about it that it can be a cause of depression, sin undealt with, and sorrow. Sometimes it's slander. You say, what's that, Pastor? That's when people say and believe things about us that are not true. Slander. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Sometimes depression is a byproduct of self or our sin nature. Our sin nature. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Galatians 5:17. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Satan. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Let us never forget, ladies and gentlemen, Revelation 12:10, that says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses us before God day and night. And can I say that not only does he accuse us before God, but he accuses us to us, and many times his accusations are spot on. You ever heard his voice? Oh, I don't mean out loud. I don't mean out loud, but boy, he gets in our ear, doesn't he? Gets in our ear. We get to think it's Christmas time. We get to think we're like George Bailey. We're worth more dead than alive. Who is that? Who would ever make a human being of such eternal value feel that way? I'll tell you who he is. The devil himself. The devil himself and his imps and his fallen angels that do his bidding. You know, many Bible characters struggled with these same issues. Remember Elijah? Elijah, the prophet, the one, the thunderous voice. And he comes on the scene and he says to Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say. And then he leaves and he comes back and Ahab says, are you the one that troubleth Israel? He said, it's not me, it's you, your sinful house and your wicked wife that's troubling Israel. And then he goes on the Mount Carmel and he has that great contest and he slays the prophets of Baal. Fire comes down, and then one chapter later, he's under a juniper tree and he says, God, why don't you just kill me? I'm not even fit to live. He was discouraged. I think about John the Baptist, that preacher of preachers, the one who Jesus said, there's not born one greater of man and woman than John the Baptist. The one who proclaimed Jesus and went before him, and the one who said of Jesus, I'm not even worthy to unlatch the shoes of your sandals. And when Jesus came to be baptized, John said, I need to be baptized of you. The one who said, behold, the Lamb of God, laid in his life in prison after he stood for God against Herod. He was in prison. He sent out his disciples to Jesus and said, are you really him? Are you really him? Think about that. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. John the Baptist, Elijah. How about John Mark? Went off on his mission journey with his heroes, Paul and Barnabas. And for whatever reason, the Bible doesn't say, but he turned back. And you remember how Paul and Barnabas fought about John Mark going on that next missionary journey, and the contention was so sharp that they couldn't speak peaceably one to another. What happened? Maybe he got discouraged. You know, the psalmist here, and it doesn't say whether it was David in flight from Absalom or a captive Levite missing worship in Jerusalem, or King Jehoiakim on his way to Babylon, or King Hezekiah. Whoever the writer is of these two psalms is certainly discouraged and perplexed by the difficulties of life. He's discouraged in the midst of a spiritual drought. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 42 says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He is unable to worship God with the people of God in the temple of God, and it's greatly disturbing him. By the way, I wish that would disturb everybody. Huh? You're the Wednesday crowd. I'm not chiding you at all. Listen, I always think the Sunday morning crowd should be the same size as the Sunday night crowd, and the Wednesday night crowd should be the same size. Amen. He's disturbed here. He's going through this spiritual drought. Amen. Think about it as these last days and the coming of the Lord approaches, the Holy Spirit penned, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. God often uses the bodily necessities of life as an illustration of man's need for fellowship with God. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You know, I can honestly say I've never been too thirsty physically. There's always water around. I'll tell you what, you ever get thirsty. One time, my wife and I, we were in Hawaii, and it was our 10th anniversary, and we didn't have any children yet, and Brother Horst said, we got to go now, because they're coming, amen? Those Christmas critters, amen, are coming. And so we went to Hawaii, and my wife said, let's go on a hike. I said, absolutely, let's go. And I can't remember, it was like a 5.2-mile hike. Praise the Lord, wonderful. And we went out there, and Miss Leonard, it was a 1,500-foot descent to the lookout, and the most gorgeous lookout, like literally, there was helicopters flying underneath us. They looked like dragonflies. They were so small. But I realized something when we were out there, we're eating, and we had been drinking water along the way. We had a bunch packed, and I just been, you know, as you need it. And I realized that if you descend 1,500 feet, then when you get out, you have to ascend 1,500 feet. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen, a little physics lesson here. It's a lot easier to descend than it is to ascend, okay? And so we were going along and we realized that we got about halfway back, and we realized, Brother Robles, we were out of water. I mean, we were totally out of water. My wife said, "Did you drink all that water?" I said, "Well, I'm telling you what, when we got to the end, I was thirsty. I was thirsty, like, okay, you know, you're getting that dry feeling. And we literally got to, there was a ranger station. And we got to the ranger station, and I can't remember, Blondie, I think it was like 5:02. We got there at like 5:02. They closed at 5. And we're looking for we walked around looking for the outside, looking for a spigot. You know, you used to be able to drink water out of the spigot. How many of you remember you used to drink water out of the spigot? And no spigot anywhere. And I said, oh my goodness. So then when you descend down from the mountain, you got to go like this, you got to go like this, you got to go like this. We got all the way down, Brother Tim, down to the bottom. And they had one of those gigantic bottles of water. And I went, and I literally, there was about that much left in there. You know what God says? God says, you know what? When you can get discouraged when you're in a spiritual drought. And you know what he says? I am the water of life. Amen. Oh, we need him. We need him in a spiritual drought. Think about that spiritual drought. Keep going there. If you look down a little further, not only is discouraged in the midst of a spiritual drought, but there's a spiritual storm. Verses 6 and 7. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from Jordan, from the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Storms can engulf us. When the spiritual storms come into our life, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the time to walk away from God. It's the time to snuggle up close to Him. Get in that lighthouse, amen? There's a spiritual night. Chapter 43, verse 3 says, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth." Why would he say that? It was a dark time. We read, it is trusting God and in the promises of God that remind us of how wonderful He is and that He can lead us through the darkest night. Let me give you an application tonight. Defeating discouragement, I have five points tonight. Defeating discouragement requires, number one, we must return to the Lord. We must return to the Lord. You're in the Old Testament. Let's go to Hosea chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14. Now we see who knows their Bibles and the minor prophets. Amen. Where's Hosea? Amen. Just, you got Daniel there. Amen. Find Daniel. And you got Hosea. And the last chapter, chapter 14. Defeating discouragement. If you're discouraged tonight, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in you. God does not want you to live a perpetually discouraged life. You can not have two pennies to rub together and still be encouraged in the Lord. There's a lot of Christians that do it. Amen. And God, listen, we can defeat discouragement. Number one, return to the Lord. Hosea 14, verse 1 says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to" who? "The Lord. Say unto him, take away all the iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves or the offerings of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercies." And look what God's response is here. When we return to the Lord, he says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him." Go over to Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3. Last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 3. Verse number 7, please. Verse number 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." You know, there's a New Testament sister passage to that. And it's in James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you." You discouraged tonight? Listen, return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. Get back to Bible reading in the morning. Get back to Bible reading. Get back to having a set prayer time. You say, "Well, I never get to pray all the prayer requests." That's all right. Amen. You have a set prayer time. Have a time in the Bible. Get back, and I don't have to tell you, you're the Wednesday crowd. Get back to being in God's house, being in Sunday school, being part of the visitation program, reaching out to others. Listen, repent will produce revival. Sometimes we have to just restart and be restored, and we'll return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. You want to defeat discouragement? Number one, return unto the Lord. Number two, defeating discouragement requires us to rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him." Mark 6:31, Jesus says to His disciples, "Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while." Matthew 11:28 through 30, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." That doesn't mean just inactivity, but I will tell you this, there is a value in true rest. There is value. There is profit in resting. You don't want to be like the Proverbs 6 sluggard. That's different, amen. That's just lazy. But here, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you have to rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Draw strength from Him. We would say it this way out of Matthew chapter 11. Let Him carry the heavy end. Let Him carry the heavy end. Rest in the Lord. You're discouraged. You know, it's probably because you're trying to bear that burden on your own. And God didn't equip you for that. He wants to bear your burden. So thankful I was able to go and have prayer today with Mrs. Chase. And by the way, her surgery went well today, her back surgery. I know many of you prayed for that. But was able to say, we read 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." You know, you can rest in the Lord. You can rest in the Lord. Thirdly, something else, not only rest in the Lord and return to the Lord, but to defeat discouragement, you're going to have to rely on the Lord. You're going to have to rely on the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Psalm 37, verse 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him." Can I say, ladies and gentlemen, that many times we rely on people. We do. We rely on people. And this is not a message to say don't love people and don't ever rely on people. But I've learned this. People will let you down. People let you down. Sometimes churches are built around a persona. Pastor, sometimes it's built around the pastor. And then when the pastor leaves, the church implodes. Listen, thank God this church is not built around me. It's built around that book. Amen. So sometimes we depend on people. Sometimes we depend on personas. Or sometimes we depend on possessions. You know, I've got this and I'm all set. I've got this in the bank. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our lives can turn around like that. Everything can fall under us. Like, say, "Well, I've got these investments and I've got this." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you ever heard of the stock market crash? When millionaires became paupers? Listen, we're not to rely on those things. Somebody well said, "My money talks and mine always says goodbye." That's all my money says. Amen. Yeah. Possessions, "A man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth." Rely, trust in
God. And this involves depending upon God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It involves deciding that God is right. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Deciding that God is right. Deciding, ladies and gentlemen, that when God and I disagree, it is not God but I that am wrong. It takes some humility, doesn't it? Doing what God has said. See, that's really the key. There's a lot of people that are discouraged because they're not in all thy ways acknowledging Him. Amen. They're most of their ways, they're acknowledging Him, but not all of them. And there's this discouragement that rests there, relying on the Lord, depending upon God, deciding that God is right, doing what He said. And then, according to verse 6, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That direction will come from God. Psalm 73:28 says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Rely on the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Return to the Lord. I love this one. Number 4, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Praising God. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Praising God for who He is. You know, Brother Robles, I love you, man. I love you. My friend, when Brother Robles and I get together, now first of all, we laugh a lot. And if you had to look at him, you'd laugh too. Amen. He's just funny, funny looking guy. Amen. We rejoice. Yeah, that's what he said. I feel the same way. We rejoice in the Lord, don't we, brother? Our fellowship is in Christ. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. We get thankful, but I think we miss who we're thankful for. We get thankful for the blessings. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with being thankful for the blessings. Amen? Amen. You got your health. Praise the Lord for that. But there's some people that don't have health. You say, I got healthy children. There's some people that they have to go to U of M, to that cancer ward with all those bald-headed babies. Say, well, I've got my loved ones. There's some people that are going to go to a grave tomorrow and put some flowers down. May we truly rejoice in the Lord. All those things that we have in Him that can never be taken away. You know what Jesus said to His disciples? They came back and said, you're not going to believe this. The devils are subject to us. Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, one day this earth is going to pass away, and we're not. Rejoice in the Lord. If it all came crumbling down tomorrow, you still are redeemed. You're still justified. You're still loved before the foundation of the world. Rejoice in the Lord. Hard to be discouraged and rejoicing. Well, those two are like oil and water, aren't they? If you're truly rejoicing in God, I'm going to tell you what, it'll literally engulf that discouragement. Rejoice in the Lord. And then lastly tonight, not only rejoice in the Lord, rely on the Lord, rest in the Lord, return to the Lord, but radiate for the Lord. Radiate for the Lord. You say, what do you mean? Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, when discouragement pays a visit, don't open the door to the room of doom and gloom, but rather show it the parlor of the spiritual positives. Let your light so shine. Light a candle of encouragement rather than cursing the darkness of discouragement. And can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? Helping someone else by radiating that light that God has given you, will always defeat discouragement. I'm telling you, lady, I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of countless servants of God that were just weeping and discouraged, and they went out and helped somebody else, and that discouragement went away. Sometimes it returns. You know, this is a message to write down, because discouragement seems to knock on our doors a lot. We need to remember when it does, hey, first of all, return to the Lord. Make sure there's nothing between me and God. Nothing between me and God. If I've stopped reading my Bible, get back to it. I know this is the last midweek of the year. And I know perhaps some of you started like a house of fire reading your Bibles and then you just tapered off. Listen, just start over. Start over. Start again, amen. You say, well, my prayer life, start again. Well, I started passing out gospel tracts to be. Start again. Start again, amen. Just return to the Lord. And you know what he said? I'll love them freely. Just come on back. I always think of the story of the prodigal, Pastor, and how the father, he was so gentle and so generous and so kind and so patient in his waiting for that son to come home. You know, if you're a little further away from God than you were maybe 12 months ago, you know what, God's just... And as soon as you come back to Him, He comes to you, arms around you, rejoicing, amen, and restores you. Return unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, radiate for the Lord. Defeating discouragement, amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and blessing unto us. Thank you for this midweek service. Thank you for a time that we can gather together. Lord, thank you for these, your people. Perhaps there are some tonight that just bearing the load of discouragement. Lord, I pray that this message would move them. Perhaps there are those that need to return to the Lord. Perhaps there are those that, Lord, have been leaning a little bit on people. May they rely on you. Lord, perhaps there are those that just had a bad spirit. May they rejoice in you. And Lord, perhaps there are those that just need to radiate your light out. Lord, we're mirrors, we're conduits, Lord. I pray that you would please, Lord, bless us now. We thank you for all that you give. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Miss Robin, how about page 69?